Welcome everyone, my name is Dice.
My name is Austin.
And you are listening to the wonderful sounds of Leadership of the Leaf.
Welcome, welcome.
Mr. Austin, sir, what are you smoking on today?
Tonight, I am actually smoking on the Southern Draw Jacob's Ladder. How about you?
I'm going to go with Rocky Patel's Disciple.
A good choice. Although I haven't had many Rocky Patels, I need to broaden my palate for sure. I love every Rocky Patel that I've had.
I've only had this a few times. Probably about as many times as I had a Jacob Ladder.
Really?
So, yep. I'm going to do a deep V cut for this bad boy.
I actually did the exact same. Of course, I toasted it first, you know, which is lighting the end a little bit enough to kind of get that burnt draw to seal in some of that flavor. It's burning real well. I enjoy these smokes. I enjoy Southern Draw. Of course, they're a military-owned company, so I always enjoy them.
Well, we always support our veterans, right?
Absolutely.
All right, my cigar size, what size is this? A Toro? Toro is what, 6x52?
Yep. So there's this thing in the cigar industry, and it's, you know, what flavor notes do you get? And I like to try to compare, you know, what I get versus what everyone, the makers actually say that I'm supposed to get. You know, sometimes you get those, oh, this is going to earth, or this is leather or something, and I get something completely different, something I never even taste out of that cigar. And it's always interesting to me how everybody's palate changes person.
Well, they say the notes and flavor profile is all subjective. So I'm not sure who's doing the subjecting.
Yeah, usually if it's a cigar reviewer, like Cigar Aficionado, you know, Cigars International, or whoever's writing.
Do you find yourself normally matching up with what they say, or you normally go out on your own and like, I'm not getting any of that?
I would say that it's about probably 70-30 I match up with them. This one is, I'm supposed to get notes of cedar and spice and espresso, which I definitely get the espresso, not cedar. Now, if you want a cedar cigar, you should go with the Cedrus, which I believe is also by Southern Draw. That one will give you a heavy, heavy cedar flavor.
I agree with you on that. This one's supposed to be like earthy and oak to start with. And as of right now, I will agree.
Yeah, I definitely get the spice on this one. Flavor profiles, if you don't know, flavor profiles always change throughout the cigar. Usually it's broken up into thirds, the first third, second third, and the last third. It's usually how they go through these things. You know, you and me have smoked quite a few cigars together, and especially we can attest to flavor profiles change in the last third. Sometimes you'll get hit with a white pepper bomb in the last third and make a silly face or something.
Yeah, that's always the worst. I remember that one we had at that cigar lounge. That was just crazy.
Yeah.
How you was talking about it, and then boom, I got it. You was like, yep, I can see.
Yeah. And it was just white pepper on the lips for probably, what, an hour after we finished smoking?
Yeah, definitely. I was trying to get some kind of alcohol, some kind of drink. Nothing worked. I have seen and witnessed myself in a humidor at a brick and mortar where someone couldn't decide which cigar they wanted, and they actually dropped it. And they did not purchase that one. They placed it back in the box. So I go with your buy two, because let's say I bought one, and I bought that one that he dropped. Now I'm smoking it. It split. It cracked. It's just not smoking right. And now I'm upset. But if I bought two, then I could test a theory saying that, hey, this one may have construction problems, unknowing to me that it was dropped. So I'm glad I bought two. So I agree with you on that buying two.
Well, yeah. And they're all, I mean, cigars are, you know, they're handmade in a factory. But they're all hand rolled by people, and people make mistakes, whether they roll them too tight, too loose, maybe put too much of a different binder or filler in there that's just not correct for the cigar. So, you know, I that's why I'm always saying, you know, even if you love the flavor profile of that cigar, I don't always believe that it's going to be the exact same from cigar to cigar to cigar. Even if you can smoke a whole box from the same company, from the same batch, and you might get different flavor profiles from cigar to cigar within a box because they are handmade.
That's true. Handmade. The water could be different at one side of the crop than it could be on the other. The soil. Yep. There's so many different variables that goes into these things.
Well, and you know, Southern Draw, they named the cigar 300 Hands because it takes about 300 hands for a cigar to go from the tobacco leaf in the field to a cigar that you're holding in your hand smoking. So you got to think about 300 hands have touched this cigar, so to speak, whether that's rolling it, distribution, packing it, selling it, to you smoking it. About 300 hands it takes per cigar, which is a lot. That's very man hour intensive, labor intensive.
Yeah, that's putting a lot of time behind just for me to sit back here and enjoy my...
And watch it all go up in smoke.
That's fine. Because it's so therapeutic and relaxing, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, as much as I love these things, there's those people that I always tend to call assholes, you know? They're the guys in cigar lounges or cigar bars that are just... whatever's wrong with them. Ugh, they just irk me to no end. You know, and so, you know, and try to me and Dice came down, try to get a list of 10 do's or don'ts to make sure that you're not that asshole. There's 5 do's, 5 don'ts.
I am going to start off with one do that you should do at a cigar lounge. Do to do.
Not endorsed by.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Do look over cigars to make sure there's no cracks, no bug holes, no mold, and that some asshole didn't drop it and put it back in the box.
100%. This goes back to, you know, exactly what we were talking about. You know, some dude drops a cigar and then puts it back. Or the lounge, I've picked up cigars out of a lounge and I looked at them and there's straight up green mold growing in the foot of the cigar, and I just sit there and I point it out and they tell me it's plume, and you know there's the great plume versus mold debate, and I'm not getting into it. I don't want to even touch it. It's not
a whole
nother
show, buddy.
Yeah, it's not even worth it. But you know, normally if it's in the foot of the cigar, it is mold and not something that you should take a puff of, because it will get you sick. So absolutely, 100%. Look over it.
I'm picking up a cigar and it has plume versus mold. Like you said, I don't want to get into it. But if I'm at a cigar lounge and I'm picking up, I don't want to see that any version on a cigar that I'm picking up at a cigar lounge that I'm spending actually pretty good money at to enjoy the atmosphere of a lounge.
Yeah. So actually, I went to a lounge and I picked up, I think it was a My Father's cigar. And I looked and it just had the whole box was just plume ridden. I say plume ridden. Every cigar in that box had plume. And I asked the guy, I said, hey, do you guys is this not a high turnover cigar? Does that mean that it's a bad cigar and you guys are just trying to get rid of it? And he goes, no, we're proud of our plume.
Proud of the plume. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go get something else that doesn't have plume on it. And you can keep your plume cigars.
That's crazy that a cigar place would do that.
It was mind-boggling to me. I haven't been back to that place since that experience, because I wasn't happy with it.
Well, that's the importance of having a good cigar lounge that you visit frequently, having a good brick and mortar, mm-hmm. a nice group of guys, somewhere
absolutely.
You can go.
Absolutely. You know, and another I would say a don't is, man, and we have witnessed this together in cigar lounges, where some person, some asshole, right, will get done smoking their cigar and they'll dab it out like a cigarette.
Like you're in the wrong lounge, buddy.
Yeah, and what that does to those who don't understand it or don't know, or maybe smoke alone, and that's okay. If you're smoking alone and you're outside or you're in your own place or whatever, do you, boo. I don't care. But if you're in a lounge, don't do that, because what that does is that releases all the ash and all the burnt up smoke that's still holding in your cigar over where your mouth was, you know, holding on to it, and it just releases it into the air and it makes it smell disgusting in the lounge, smokes up the entire place, and nobody's happy about it. So what you want to do, if you're done with your cigar in a lounge, you set it down in their tray and you just let it go out and they'll take care of the rest.
Correct. And that's the biggest pickup from a lounge, is they got to take care of the rest. Yes, you should let your cigar rest and let it go out on its own. That's a living, breathing thing. But as a cigar lounge, a good cigar lounge is going to take care of that right away, because even with that sitting around, it's going to cause a type of odor that's just going to linger in the air, and it's not going to be pleasant for other cigar smokers and can actually ruin the flavor profile of some other cigars.
100%. That's why, you know, this is not on our list, but it's a full, we'll add in a freebie. I don't like a lounge, and maybe you're different. I don't personally like a lounge where the owner, the manager, the store attendant, whatever you want to be, goes into the humidor smoking a cigar.
Correct.
It bugs me to no end.
That just, to me, it shows that it's very amateurish.
Yeah.
Amateur hour. Someone that doesn't fully understand or just doesn't care. Maybe he's just there to get a paycheck. I've seen a few people like that.
Mm-hmm.
What are you sipping on? What do you got there?
Oh, well, I got some nice little Glen Merengue. Merengue? I'm going to say Merengue because I think it's more special. But it's a Glen Merengue 12-year Scotch.
There's nothing wrong with a little Scotch.
Scotchy Scotch Scotch. What are you slipping on?
What we already know is Hennessy. That's what I drink. That's what I'm all drink on Jesus' birthday.
His birthday.
This is it. Copyright to no one, Cat Williams. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I put a little twist in it because I want to bring out some more fruity flavors to kind of coincide with my cigar. So I added a blood orange slice to my fancy.
You know, it's funny. My wife actually, I asked her, I said, hey, could you make me a drink? And she goes, well, what do you want to drink? I said, oh, just surprise me. She goes, do you want to be like Dice and drink Hennessy? And I just started laughing. I was like, no, I'm good. I'll leave that to Dice.
Well, I will try to change it up a little bit on this podcast. But as of right now, my fellow listeners, Hennessy is what Dice drinks.
I can guarantee you that I will almost always be drinking Scotch. I tend not to pair with beer too much anymore. Not that I don't like it, but the type of flavors of the beer that I want, I don't know, just it fills me up too much and just makes me uncomfortable, you know, to get the good flavor of beer that I want, the fuller beers and stuff. So I tend to be sparing when I pair a cigar with beer.
That makes sense. I think with beer, you're supposed to try to aim towards like a very light body, very mellow.
Yeah, I think it depends. You know, and I'm a super fan of mixing my pairings. I have paired the same cigar with a coffee, with some Scotch, and with a beer. And to me, the Scotch just brought out all the right flavors for me. So you know, everybody's got to do their own thing.
Let's get back to the list. So we got one don't.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm going to introduce another don't. Let's go with a don't. So when you go to a brick and mortar cigar lounge and you're going to hang out with your buddies, don't take your own cigars there. The brick and mortar needs to stay in business. That's what they're there for you to hang out and enjoy their atmosphere. So while you're there, you might as well pick up one, or as my friend Austin here likes to pick up two at a time. And just sit back and enjoy. Don't be that asshole that brings your own little collection of cigars in there and just to enjoy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've had people go to cigar lounges with their own cigars. And now I have been guilty of this. Say it ain't so, but I have been guilty of this. But what I do, if I go into a cigar lounge, I'll bring some cigars with me and I'll leave them in my car. And then when I go into the cigar lounge, if there's just nothing that strikes my fancy at that moment, I'll still buy a couple cigars to try for later, and then I'll smoke my own, and I'll just swap them out because I usually carry a travel humidor. That way, I'm still supporting that brick and mortar lounge, but you know, I get to smoke what I want to smoke at the end of the day, because there are sometimes, you know, not every brick and mortar is going to carry what you want. You know, you and me witnessed that dang near every lounge we went to over there.
Yeah, when you say over there, you're referring to Las Vegas. Currently, I'm living in Las Vegas. And Austin had the privilege of coming for a few. So we visit quite a plethora of lounges with different features.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they didn't have everything we was looking for. So I can definitely understand where you're coming from. But the point is, you still purchase something to support that brick and mortar. Because what a lot of people don't understand, these brick and mortars, they still got to pay the bills. They still got to pay for that cable package that you watch in the NBA.
They got to pay for overhead. Yeah. Or pay for the heat or air.
The guy that's walking in the humidor smoking.
Yeah. Or the cocktail waitress that ignores you after you ask her for an old fashioned three times, you know?
That's fine. Eventually you get the old fashioned, eventually.
Eventually. But no, we had good experiences, we had bad experiences. As with any industry, it's just like the restaurant industry. There's good restaurants, there's bad restaurants. You know, and it's the same thing with anything. So I always say, you know, just if you go there once, again, You go there once and it's bad, go there again. Just to see if it's any different. Maybe you had a person had an off day, maybe you just got the bad guy and you don't like that particular individual, or he or she didn't serve you right, whatever. Go there again. I fully support our brick and mortar places. I always enjoy that. I will try to go back to that one that said they were proud of their plume eventually. when I get the courage. I just haven't made it over there yet, but I will be searching, because I got to fill up my humidor for sure. So back to the list. I guess I'll do another don't.
Don't put your slobbery mouth all over the end of your cigar and then ask to use somebody's cutter, or worse, use the community cutter, man. It
just bugs me to know it. And I had to tell my guy, I was like, nope, try again, bud. I got a knife you can use if you want to make a little cut in your cigar, because I don't use the knife for, you know, eating, because I carry a pocket knife. But that's what I ended up giving him. I was like, you can have this. He's like, why can't I use your cutter? No, bud. I ain't doing it. This is my cutter. I don't want your germs. I ain't kissing you on the lips.
I was just about to say, I don't kiss you goodnight. So.
Yeah. If it was my wife asking me that, that's one thing. That's me and her share germs all the time.
Did you call him an asshole?
No. I called him a straight up asshole, though. I was like, man, you an asshole.
I'd be like, oh, man, why you call me that?
Yeah, nope.
Let me explain something to you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, sometimes, well, maybe you're new to smoking, or maybe you're a buddy got you into it and has tried to set you up, and you're like, hey, I want to go to a lounge, or, you know, hey, maybe you've been smoking for a little while, but you order all your stuff off of cigars websites, you know, these are just common tricks and tips to kind of help out, you know, make sure that you don't be that guy, you know?
Right. Well, with that, let's throw another do in there.
Okay.
All right. This do has to do mainly with being at your house, enjoying them yourself, your cigars with your buddies at the house. You want to do, by all means, properly humidify your cigars. You don't want to put them in the fridge. You don't want to leave them out in the open. You want to put them in your humidor with some kind of humidifying device. Different temperatures for different climates. I keep mine around 67. I'm in a drier climate.
You talking about 67% humidity or 67 degrees temperature?
67% humidity. The temperature rise and fall, I try to keep it around 70, but that's really hard to do where I'm located, because it just gets hot. It's the desert. It's just going to get hot.
Yeah, unless you have a humidor like mine that is basically I have an old wineador that is now a humidor. So it's refrigerated for me, so it keeps them right around 66. Which is perfect. You know, the rule of thumb that I heard when I first got into smoking, and it's all different, is the 70-70 rule. I don't know. Did you hear that when you first started smoking?
I did hear that. My problem is the 70 was a little too high, and it caused my cigars to actually crack.
Yeah, and every cigar is a little bit different, too. So I personally, for humidification, I personally throw in Bovita packs. They're so easy to maintain. I throw in 69% Bovita packs all day, every day, into my humidor. I set it, forget it, and I check them every now and then. When I go in there, I pick out a cigar or two to smoke for the night. I check and make sure they're still squishy. And then if I make an order or go to a brick and mortar, I'll go pick some extras up and I'll throw those back in there.
That actually works very well. I'm a little lazier than that. I tend to forget to check them. So I use a Cigar Oasis. It uses like a sponge-like apparatus, so to speak, to keep everything humidified. And then when it gets too dry, it beeps. And when it beeps, everybody in my household lets me know, hey, your humidor's beeping. That's my cue to go change it out.
Yep. And there's other things. I had a friend who actually worked at a cigar lounge for a short period of time. She used, it was basically a 69% humidity solution in the water beads in a jar with holes on top, and that would release the humidity. And then what she had to do was put more of that solution back into the water beads, and it would soak it back up, and it would just keep going like that. So it's easy to rehumidify. She just had to keep buying that solution, and that works too. I started on Bovita packs. I love Bovita packs, so that's what I kept going with.
Well, the Bovita packs is set it and forget it, like you said. I mean, you check to see if it's squishy. They normally last up, what, 3 months, 4 months?
Depending on how many you have and your the type of seal you have. You know, if you have a glass top humidor that's not really well sealed, because those glass tops tend to leak a little bit more. Unless you like kind of seal them with some like caulk or something like that. Don't use caulk. There is a special type of silicone sealant that you can use that is not going to alter the taste of your cigars. But, you know, if you use that, you could kind of seal them up a little bit better. But yeah, I don't know. I have quite a few in my humidor. And the great thing about Bovita packs is they breathe. They'll intake humidity and they'll outtake the humidity. So if you just throw a whole bunch of Bovita packs into one end of the humidor with three sticks in it, that they're gonna stay the same humidity no matter what, period. It's a permeable membrane, so it goes back and forth, which is why I like them.
Like I said, easy to use, easy peasy.
100%. That's what I got started and I let it go. All right, what do you think? Throw another do in there
and balance it out.
All right, let's do another do. So I would say the biggest thing that was a challenge for me starting in cigars, and man, I laugh at myself to this day, but you have to, when you're smoking cigars, you have to you have to step outside of your comfort zone. For sure.
Yes.
For sure, you have to step outside of your comfort zone. I used to smoke nothing but Gurkha cigars. And now, there's nothing wrong with Gurkhas. A lot of people trash on them. That's okay. Some people like them. Great. But those things are so peppery and so not my flavor profile that I prefer, but I was like, this is what I have to do to be cool, you know, back when I was younger. And I was like, that's what I'm just gonna go with, because I like Gurkhas. I know Gurkha, because it's an easy brand to kind of remember, and they have cool bands, which is what drew me to them in the beginning. You know, I'm very much a band person when I try new cigars. But you got to step outside your comfort zone. And then I started smoking, you know, Connecticuts, and I started smoking Habanos, and some Maduros that are chocolatey and full-bodied and stuff like that. And it has just opened my palate up to so many. And I have so many cigars in my humidor that are all just different flavor profiles that are I can't even get over. It's great, because that's what I love doing. Now, the caveat to this is, and you and me have talked about this, and I think I would say that I have failed at this, and I would say you're better at this than I am. You need to keep a cigar journal for your cigars that you have tried. I can't tell you how many times I have smoked two of my new cigars and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever, and blah blah blah, and I love this cigar, and this is the flavor notes that I'm getting, and I get it all, and it's like, oh, this is great. I put it away, go to sleep, wake up next, you know, at the end of the week, and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna pull out some other cigars. Man, what was that one cigar I tried that one time? Man, I don't remember. It kind of looked like this, but I don't remember. And it's gone. And now I got to rediscover that cigar, and I got to try to find it again. and it bugs me, because I fail at it all the time, because I don't take the time to actually journal them correctly. But I would say that you do way better at that than I do.
Yeah, I 100% try to keep track of what I like and what I don't like, because one thing I hate is rebuying cigars that I've tried, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember, I don't like this. It's a pepper bomb, or it's just too full of a body, or it's too mellow. I have to keep track of them. A pitfall to that is if you're a box buyer. Now, will admit, I am not a box buyer, but when you buy a box of cigars, then you are holding on to 10 to 20 of the same cigar. And what happens is you eventually burn yourself out, because if you're like me and not a box buyer, you're going to be stuck with them until you smoke enough to where you want to purchase other singles.
Yep. And that actually happened to me. I got a deal on the internet, and it was buy a box of Oliva Serie V, which are great cigars.
Great cigar.
Great cigar. Love it. And I got like 8 more of the same type, Oliva Serie G, Oliva Serie V, Milanios, all of these things. And they're good, but man, I've been smoking on them for over a year now, and I'm so burnt out on Olivas. I'm so burnt out on them. I have one more in my humidor, and I told you, I don't want to even smoke it. I don't even want to smoke it right now, because I'm just so burnt out on Olivas. So if you're going to buy a box of cigars, for sure, make sure it's something that you like. Make sure it's something Yeah, love. Love is a better word.
Now, you mentioned how you was like waiting to get out of your Gurkha phase, so to speak. Well, I was a little worse off, sir. I was a little worse off. When I first started, forgive me, but I smoked the fruity cigars. I smoked those gas station cigars. Yeah,
strawberry
swishers, Phillies. And then when I grew up a little bit, I got some actual premium cigars, but it was still kind of fruity. Nothing against people that smoke acids and all those types of cigars.
Nothing.
But
I've had acids that I enjoy.
But once I stepped out of that fruity, flavorful comfort zone, I started enjoying a whole lot more. My spectrum of cigars have grown tremendously.
So, 100%. 100%. Because when I got out of the Gurkha phase, I went to Connecticut. I was like, you know what? I started doing research. I started listening to podcasts, like kind of like, you know, making, you know, the people made for new cigar smokers. And, they encouraged me, get out of your comfort zone. Got to get out of your comfort zone. Go try something that you've never had before. You know, and they started talking about Connecticut's and how they're lighter. And then, you know, the Habanos and then the Maduros and, all of these other types of flavor profiles. And I was like, man, let me try. You know what? Screw it. Let's just go with the Connecticut. It's a light body. I'm going to try it. I'm going to pair it with the coffee because usually they're kind of coffee-ish notes. I said, it's light, mellow. Let me give it a shot. I tried a Camacho Connecticut. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Went back the next week or whatever it was. And you know, I've just been on a kick since then. So,
well, I'm going to share another do since we're talking about sharing cigars and upping our game.
Ooh, yes.
When you go to a cigar lounge, by all means, you have to socialize. And nothing fits this topic more perfect than when you came to Vegas to visit and we went to Tobacco Leaf, sitting in the back. And everybody looked us up and down and it was like, who you? who the fuck is this? So...
Oh, man. Guys, I gotta tell you that was... It was the funniest thing in my life because I'm sitting in a back room with my boy and I had people walked in and they knew Dice, not easily offended for sure.
Yeah,
and so
that's an open fire zone right there.
100%, 100%. So you got to be able to take it, dish it, whatever it is, but you got to make sure that you talk to people. Cigars are definitely a social activity. You know, they had a big screen, they had a football game going on, and we were talking with a guy who worked at UPS, and we were talking, and it was great, and I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Every time I've gone to a cigar lounge, I try to talk to people. You know, don't be that guy that's sitting over on your phone, guy or gal, that's sitting over on your phone or your laptop. Now, there's times for that. You know, if you want to go to a cigar lounge and do homework rather than a coffee shop, go for it. You know, I'm not gonna rag on anybody for doing that. But man, you know, if you're going there just to smoke and you're just by yourself or whatever, sit and talk with people. You will never know the kind of people that you meet at a cigar lounge.
Cigar lounges are one of the few places where it doesn't matter if you a doctor, dentist, surgeon, you can sit there and rub elbows with a garbage man, regular maintenance guy that changes oil on a car. I mean, it's all walks of life that sits in there and enjoy the wonderful Zen meditation. Calm, cool, relaxing of smoking a cigar. The atmosphere just brings everyone together, in my opinion. I love it. I wouldn't change anything about it.
With that, let me throw another don't in there. Ain't nobody want to sit in there and talk and listen to how you only smoke Davidoff, how you only cigars that cost $20, how you only smoke, you know, whatever. I've had cigars that were $3 and I'm like, this is a budget stick, but man, it's flavoring and it's really good.
Yeah, it's, you can always spot it when someone is being that guy because they're normally talking louder than everyone else should. They're normally causing more of a ruckus. And it's just like a showboating tone in their voice when they're trying to speak. Like, there's no need for that. Everybody's on the same even playing field in a cigar lounge. If you want to smoke your $20, $30 cigar, by all means, go ahead. But my Charter Oak that only costs $5 smokes just as good, buddy.
Yeah. Flavor is just as nice. Yeah, I've seen it seen it both ways, and it's just, it just goes crazy.
That's the way it's got to be, and that's the way it's going to be. One thing I noticed at a cigar lounge that some people may or may not do, I don't know. I haven't really seen someone do it. I only seen it one time, and I don't know if it was on accident or on purpose, but they try to smoke through the actual cigar band. I don't know why anyone would want to do that unless it's advertised as that the type of cigar you can do it with. But I'm just saying, it's one of the, like, you're smoking burnt paper now, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the Amazon Basin comes to mind. It is made, it has a cigar twisted up, and that is its band. And that sets about at the beginning of the last third, and you're supposed to smoke through that band. That is, it is made to smoke through that band. However, like, you know, the Southern Draw, or even your Rocky Patel, they have paper bands, and you just end up smoking the paper. And I can, to me, I usually can tell when somebody's kind of a novice, when they just start smoking through the band, because either they don't know, or they're not paying attention, or something of that effect takes place.
Usually you can tell when they're not paying attention, because when they draw on it, they're like, I got to take the band off.
I would agree. Oof. I just got my white pepper bomb in there.
My spices bomb came out. Bomb generally means bad.
Well, the spices, you know, I'm down to about the middle of the second third, and the spices hit my lips for sure. It's very good, but it just, you know, like I said, it cigars are made to change.
Are you still getting the flavor profile you was looking for?
Yeah, 100%. The cedar started coming out a little bit more.
Mine, I can tell the sweetness of the tobacco is actually coming through, which transformed it to like almost a sweet coffee espresso, but I still get the earthy tones to it. So it's still smoking really good. And
that's good.
I'm a burn line guy. So I take my cigar and I hold it up upright so I can look at the burn line. If I look at the burn line and it's razor sharp, I can tell it's like aged. Just right. It's not over age, it's not under age, and it's just a very thin black line, like if a woman was to do her mascara on her eye. That's how you kind of want to see it. So it's burning very even.
I took my poker, because I was starting to have a hard on my cigar, and I poked it, and now it opened up the airflow, and it was starting to get hard to draw. And if your cigars are getting hard to draw, I've done this before when I was new. I had the toughest time drawing one certain cigar, and I don't even remember what the cigar is. I can tell you what the band looked like, can't remember the name of the cigar. I was drawing on it, and I was drawing every 3 seconds, trying to like just keep this thing lit, but it was such a tight draw that I actually ended up throwing up in a buddy of mine's backyard, because I got such a nicotine buzz from trying to keep that thing lit and trying to draw on it. It was like sucking a golf ball through a garden hose, man. It was bad. But you know, at the end of the day, and I'll say this is probably I believe this is our last do, you know, you gotta enjoy your cigar your way. You know, there's people who like punches, there's people who like deep V cuts, there's people who like straight edges. I have a guy who bites the end of his cigars off. That's how he likes to smoke them. Hey, but you want to do you
yeah, whatever, you know? He wants to do.
I was reading an article about Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, one of the gods of smoking cigars, if you will. You know, he went to a lounge, and he started, was getting ready to smoke on his cigar, and the guy took it out of his mouth. Now, the waiter taking a cigar out of Arnold's mouth, man, that dude's got some balls.
Got some
on
balls.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because man. You take a cigar out of Arnold Schwarzenegger's mouth, like I would be ready for a punch if it was me. But the guy took it. He put some tequila on it, rubbed the tequila on the cigar, dipped the end in it, lit it up, and put it back in Arnold's mouth. And ever since that, and that's how Arnold always smokes his cigars. Now, I've had people try this and tell me, I have not personally tried it, but I've had people try this and they're like, it doesn't really change the flavor of the profile of the cigar. All right, fine, whatever. But you know, there's people that take cigars and they'll dip the tip of it in where they're, you know, where they cut it, and they'll dip it in whatever they're drinking, and they'll smoke on it and see if it brings out any different flavors. Some people, I would say more hardcore, tend to see this as bad, whereas I see this as, you enjoy it your way, bud.
But yeah, there's so many. I've watched so many videos on proper cigar etiquette and different things, and everybody has their opinion of how you should hold your cigar between your index finger and your thumb, and you should hold pinkies out or whatever crazy apparatus that they want to put on the end of the cigar. It doesn't matter. The whole point of smoking a cigar is to sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you want to socialize, it's better to socialize when you're at a lounge. You want to, like what we normally do is we will hook up on FaceTime and smoke together so we can chew the fat and just talk about the cigars that we're smoking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's essentially, there's no really wrong, well, I can't say there's no wrong way. That's not a fair statement, but
nope.
If you're enjoying the cigar, by all means, I guess there is no wrong way if that's the way you enjoy your cigar.
Hey, listen, man, if you want to put the lit end of the cigar and try to inhale that way, then you go for it, bud. I'm not going to say nothing about it. I'm just going to sit back and go, interesting.
enjoy your cigar. I'm going to enjoy mine this way.
Right. All right, so there it is. There's our 10 do's and don'ts. Cigar lounge etiquette, cigar etiquette, if you will. You know, so on this podcast, we're going to sit there and we're going to talk about cigars for a little bit. Obviously, it's the, you know, this is what we're all about. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, this is called Leadership of the Leaf. With that, unless you got anything else, you want to jump into our leadership segment?
Let's jump in the leadership segment.
All right.
Brothers and sisters of the Leaf, it's time to throw in some leadership.
Absolutely. And this is leadership that I feel that we feel transcends anything. This is, you know, you don't have to be, you know, I would say that you and me are decently high up in our respective areas, you know, middle management, if you would, you know, that I would say these tips that we're going to try to share are, you know, can come from anybody. But so what we're going to talk about is if you're going to walk the walk, talk the talk.
Right, which is valuable, because I'm pretty sure everyone had a boss or someone that's been in charge and they absolutely have no clue of what your job really is or how 100%. To do the job that you do.
Yep.
So it makes no sense for a leader to try to lead someone that has never done the job.
To me, I'm kind of facing this right now. My boss is coming in and he's implementing a whole bunch of new processes. And in reality, he's not really implementing new processes. He's giving the old processes a new name, right? And so he's trying to implement all this stuff. He's trying to change all this stuff. And he keeps saying, you know, you guys got to do better. You got to do this. You got to do X, Y, Z, whatever the case is. And, you know, when I sit down and I talk with him and I said, what do you mean we have to do X, Y, Z? Have you ever seen us not do X, Y, and Z? Have you ever seen us not complete, you know, our production or whatever that we got to do? If your job is to produce widgets, right? Have you, and you're producing the widgets and your boss comes in and say, hey, you got to produce widgets. Okay, cool. Thanks, boss. I'm already doing that. That also goes with, you know, if the guy's going to sit there and say, the boss sits there and says, hey, it doesn't matter what rank, position, whatever you are, if you're gonna, you know, even the highest ranking person could take out trash, and then you ask him to take out trash because you're busy with something else and he scoffs at you, he ain't really walking the walk that he just told you to do. So that kind of, you know, that just is a trait of a bad leader, an insincere leader, I would say.
I would agree. I'll share an instance, personal of myself. I was in a shop, we worked on the aircraft as a whole. Then I got moved to a different station to where now I'm working on just the engine of the aircraft, which is a total different concept. Still using tools, but still kind of like a different beast. So instead of walking in there, kicking over buckets and trash cans saying I've run this, what I did is actually went to each section for a little bit each week until I learned what each section in that shop does to produce that widget instead of just running like I own the place. Yes, I've had the experience of working on the whole aircraft as a whole, but when I got to the new shop, I had to learn all over again. Yes, I knew what the end result was, but I didn't know how they actually got to the end result.
Right.
So I took my time and pretty much learned the way of the shop before I even tried to implement any kind of rules or any kind of guidelines that would help out.
I've sat there where I am. I've come into a new place and, you know, I have great ideas, right? They're all of my ideas are obviously great. You know, I can't do any wrong, of course, you know, just ask my wife, but you know, it goes against my nature, but you know, you gotta pause and say, okay, these guys have been doing this for well before I got here. Let me figure out what they are doing. Maybe they are doing the thing that I want them to do, but there's just holes in their process where they're letting something slip through. And then I just need to figure out a way to patch those holes. You know, I always commend leaders for coming down. I respect the heck out of anybody who comes down in the weeds with the lowest person and says, let me figure out. You know, that's why I like Undercover Boss, right? They figure out what it actually takes to run their company and what they have to do to make their company succeed. And maybe they find out like, oh man, my IT system is garbage. Maybe I need to get a better IT system in here. Maybe you find out that you have a single point of failure and that guy is an old dude in his 80s that's just holding on for retirement or something. And he's your single point of failure because he moves too slow and he's holding up the whole production train. So you go, well, let me get him some help. Let me have him train some other people so I can get this moving, you know? It just sometimes it boggles my mind. I read a story where this guy wanted to take leave. He wanted to take vacation over Christmas to New Year's, that week between Christmas and New Year's. And that's what he spends with his kids. And he saves up all his vacation time over throughout the year and takes those vacation days. Well, he was working on a project, or kept requesting info. They never got it to him. And he goes, well, I'm going on leave, so you guys are going to have to figure it out. And he couldn't figure it out. And his boss said, yeah, we're going to deny your leave. He goes, nope, I quit. And he quit. And then his boss was like threatening him and trying to get him everything and trying to get the guy back. And the guy was like, no, I'm not doing it. So finally, the client contacted him directly and said, hey, what's going on? They're telling me that you fake quit so you could hold up production. And the guy explained to the client and said, here's my prices for coming back. I want basically double the pay and, you know, all of this stuff. And they said, you know what? We'll hire you at double what you requested. So he got quadruple the pay. And if you can get this done by this date, we'll pay you double your pay. So your quadruple pay for us. And if this all works out, we'll try to get you a job for working for us directly. So we never have to go through that company again. And I was like, you know, and that's one of those things where I'm like, man, if you have a single point of failure, you as a leader have failed.
Yes. I'm actually kind of experiencing that now. There's some pretty high ranking individuals that I don't know if they know where the rubber meets the ground, so to speak. My boss, who is higher than everyone I'm talking about, is making phone calls and Skype calls and then asking me questions. And then, of course, I have worked every single section here, so I was able to give her the correct answers. But the people that she was calling on the phone was not giving the correct answers. Yeah, my boss, I don't think, has worked every section. She was smart enough to communicate with someone that has worked every section, that has a clear understanding of how the widgets are being produced, so to speak. You can't walk the walk, at least have the decency to talk to the people that have walked the walk.
Right.
Learn and educate from those around you instead of just doing, what do they call it, armchair quarterbacking?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and for the listeners out there, you know, there are, I guarantee you, you're already sitting there shaking your head. I know almost everybody's shaking their head going, well, I know this and my boss doesn't know that and blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's great that you know that. Are you communicating with those around you and trying to make them better and they just don't want to? Or are you holding all that information and trying to be as stingy with that information as you want to be or as you can be? Because, man, I gotta tell you, if I have one person that's holding all the information, I'm going to fire that person and I'm going to get somebody in there who's more of a team player.
Yeah, definitely. And knowledge is power, but when you hold it all to yourself, then you're not really walking the walk and talking the talk. So if you walk the walk and talk the talk, it will be seen. You will be respected, not only respected by the people that are over you, but you will 100% be respected by the people that are under you, because they know you've been through what they've been through already. It's not just I think. No, they will know because you have walked the walk and talked the talk.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I ran into that actually. last night we had some quality assurance come through, and we got a couple dings on our record from people who told me that it was all good, and I had already released everybody, so I said, you know what, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna fix it, because this is ultimately on me. And so when my boss called me and said, hey, explain to me what happened, I said, hey, I tried to set these guys up for success. He goes, well, did it get fixed? Yes, sir, I fixed it myself. And he was like, oh, okay. I said, look, man, this is my bad, this is my mess up, my fuck up in all reality, because I didn't double check quick enough, and so this is my fault, but I fixed it, and it will, the people who messed it up will get dealt with.
Well, that's perfect, because you was able to still do the job, do the task at hand. So you're not one of those dumb guys that's going to call everybody back in when they're already home sitting at their dinner table ready to eat. And they're like, I got to go back in. So once you take care of responsibility when they get back, you'll be all right. You got to do some remedial training.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. It will. Yeah. That's a lot of remedial training this upcoming week to ensure these things don't happen again. Because it's usually the small things that get overlooked, right? The big things very rarely get overlooked because they're so big. It's all the small things that end up catching up with you. But I would say, and maybe this is, you know, this will be something for a future time. If you do the little things right, do the small things right, the big things will take care of themselves usually.
That's true. But being able to walk the walk, so to speak, being able to perform the task at hand, you know all the intricate details of the possibilities of the little things that they looked over or that they could have missed or that they just decide to skip on their own. If you was one of the leaders that have never walked a walk, then you wouldn't have known that. You would have just took the write-ups, you would have just took the disciplinary action on yourself, and it wouldn't have went anywhere from there. But because you walked a walk, you're going to be able to communicate exactly what's going on when everyone returns.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just one of those things that, you know, I see a lot of leaders, they try to walk the walk and talk the talk, you know, but they also have that action word disconnect.
Yes.
You know, hey guys, we're gonna take care of you because of, you know, by doing X, and then they're doing Y, and you go, wait a minute, I was prepping for X. Well, that costs too much. Whoa. I needed X.
Talking out of your ass.
Yeah, you know, so you got to make sure that, you know, if you're going to say something, you got to do something.
It's all about the know-how, walking the walk and talking the talk. Because if you can't do either of those, then you're full of shit.
Yeah, and everyone's going to see it. Everyone 100% will see it.
Oh, it eventually will shine.
Yeah.
And listeners and Austin have seen it. I have seen it. Everyone have seen it before. And it's just
if you
not
haven't
good.
Seen it, they talk about you. We talk about you. If you haven't seen it, we talk about you. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing that out there. Either that or you really young in your industry and you're just naive and don't know anything yet. Well, I shouldn't say anything. You don't know everything yet. So, you know, and educate yourself. Never be afraid to get your hands dirty. You know, learn the people who's under you. Learn their jobs. And learn the people ahead above you. Learn their jobs too. So that way, if somebody's out, you guys can you can make sure that everything gets done still. And you can make sure that, hey, if I need to fill in for a guy or a gal who's out, whether they be below or above, you can do it. And it's gonna flow seamlessly, and everyone's gonna see it. But if you're not doing that,
well, I'm glad glad you brought that up. Yeah, in a faraway place to where management was upset with all the worker bees. Now, I was mid-management. I wasn't necessarily a worker bee, but our bosses wanted us to sweep the whole office. They wanted all of the lower-ranking people to sweep the office clean because they was tired of seeing the dirt everywhere. Now, everyone grabbed a broom and started sweeping. I went over there and I grabbed a broom and I started sweeping too. The look and shock on everyone's face of me helping lower class, lower ranking, lower whatever underlings sweep the floor was appalling by almost everyone, including the lower ranking to the higher ones that told us to sweep the floor. Now, there was a few others that was in the same level of management that I was, just standing on the sideline, laughing and talking while I was sitting there sweeping with everyone else. I showed that I was able to walk the walk because I want to make sure the mission is accomplished altogether. We all had the same goal in common, and it just shines with greatness to show how much respect I have for everyone that was below me. And it kind of thumbed my finger up at the ones that was above me to show them that I'm not above pushing a broom. I'm not above of this remedial task that was set upon everyone. I'm right there with you, man. I'm in the trenches. Yeah. Let's make this happen.
You know, I remember in a similar instance, actually, when you and me worked together, there was an individual and she would grab brooms and mops at the end of the day, because that's what we had to do, was sweep and mop the floors. And she would always tell the underlings that they tried to grab her broom or her mop. She's like, what are you doing? Go grab a different broom or mop and just help me. I don't need you to take over for me. I'm not above this. Just go grab something else and help me get this done so we can go home at the end of the day. We're all still right on the same team.
And I think a lot of upper management over time, they forget that. That's when they forget how they walk their walk, how they talk and talk. So every now and again, maybe you need to nudge me every now and again. Be like, hey, Dice, remember when? But, I got you. And I'll be right there.
Yeah, 100%. I have zero issues doing anything like that myself. So definitely one of those leadership lessons that when I was coming up, you know, everybody wants to make it to the upper management or some sort of management level so they don't have to do X, Y, or Z that the lower rankings, lower underlings have to do. Well, that's great. Don't forget where you came from, though.
That is a big problem where people forget where they came from. I mean, just a month ago, I was just like you, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, when you promoted, it doesn't mean that you're above all that stuff. It just means you got different responsibilities, but that doesn't mean that you can't help them out. So,
all
right. It's a great thing. But how's your cigar, man? Because we're getting down to the last third.
My last third. I can actually taste the black pepper coming through. I'm not a huge pepper fan, but it's not overwhelming. It's just the right amount to touch on that sweetness to kind of balance it out at the end. And I also can tell that all the other flavors that I had at the beginning is coming through near this last third, which is common among cigars. It's now piling up in this last third, and it is smoking wonderful.
That's great. Yeah, mine is that cedar's coming through, and the spices are coming through. I lost that espresso a little bit, so I'm getting a little bit heavier spices. I say spices, and when I say that, I mean more like white and black pepper, and I'm getting that cedar, kind of a little bit heavier cedar, not too heavy. The spices are almost overpowering everything else, but because it's, I can feel it on my lips.
yeah, but I like the sound of
very,
that.
It's very, it's very good. It's very, very good. I enjoy this cigar quite thoroughly, and I look forward to, you know, obviously I love this cigar, so I have zero issues smoking it again.
So just a quick little recap. We talked about the do's and don'ts. Don't be that guy. Don't be an asshole. Enjoy the cigar is pretty much your way. We also went over a bunch of we went over a leadership topic of walking the walk and talking the talk. I'll say what we're going to try to talk about on our next episode is maybe we'll have a discussion about cigar bans, maybe storage, and then we'll have a leadership topic of why everyone needs deadlines. I'm not going to get into that now, but I think that's important. Everyone needs deadlines.
You know, these guys, anybody who's listening, I say guys in a very generic term, you know, guys and gals. Everybody who's listening, if they have a topic that they, you know, man, I really got this question, or hey, I really got this leadership issue, like how do I do X or how do I do Y or you know, whatever the case happens to be, let us know. We're here for you guys. We like to talk. We have a, I would say we have a breadth of experience.
Plethora of knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and we enjoy each other's company. We enjoy everything. We enjoy talking to everybody. You know, and this is just something that we wanted to start. We wanted to get out there and start helping everybody. You know, there's nothing out there like this that I have found that talks leaderships, talks cigars. And, you know, so if you guys got something, let us know. We are going to make sure we have an online presence to make sure you guys can pass everything to us. But let us know, and we'd be happy to sit there and talk with you guys.
Yeah, there's no topic, leadership topic, cigar topic, whatever you want to bring up. If you want to bring up something that's off the wall, we got you. Just hit us up. Let us know. I'm setting up a MeWe page, and we're going to try to get a blog started, too, to coincide with our podcast. Yeah.
We'll try to set up an Instagram and everything else, so that way we can, you know, enjoy the times, make it a little bit easier to find us on social media. So that way, you know, everyone uses social media these days, especially with the metaverse coming, according to Mark Zuckerberg.
That's someone that can talk the talk, right?
Don't get me started.
I won't get started.
Well, I mean, just as an example of talking the talk, walking the walk, did you hear about Blizzard?
No.
So they had a walkout, actually, because all of their management, people described their culture, their work culture, as a frat boy house, right? And that's not what you want. So those leaders, even if they were trying to, hey, we're trying to make it better, we're trying to make it all inclusive and everything else. And that's the generation, especially with COVID happening, everyone's focusing on, hey, I want flexible hours. I want time off to be with my family, especially with COVID, you know, flexible work options, all that sort of stuff. So if you guys are going to offer that stuff to people, man, you have got to actually follow through. I can't stress that enough, because otherwise you're going to end up having people that are just going to leave, because my generation, especially we call ourselves the millennials, my generation, you know, and Gen Z, who's right behind me, they want things to be able to, you know, make the mission. They're going to make the mission happen. They have zero issues with that, but they want to be able to do it on their terms. You know,
I've noticed that. I agree with you on that. Thank you for listening to the Leadership of the League. The comments and opinions expressed by the host or guest do not reflect any programs that may broadcast Leadership of the League. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.